Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up.
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Maybe it's dry as hell. Maybe it really smells broken.
Oh my God, she's talking about me.
Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough broken. Nobody wants you because you got a broken. Nobody wants you because you got a broken. 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 Hey. Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough broken. Hey. Maybe it's really
all right.
Rough.
7 minutes after 12.
What is this, Mrs. Scaramucci?
No.
The Mooch?
This is a classic song by Issa Rae. If you're not familiar, she stars in the HBO hit series Insecure. And I'm sure you got, do you know what she's saying there? Broken.
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
I get it. But she sounds like the female version of Scaramucci, who we're going to be talking about later. I told you he was a gavon. I told you he was a greaseball. You who claimed, oh, he's such a nice guy, right?
I mean, you know, he's affable.
He needs Fels Nap the soap to wash out his mouth. That was the old tradition. Or Rokish, if you happen to grow up in a Jewish family. What a mutt. What a skell your friend Scaramucci turns out to be.
Leave Mooch Mooch alone. We'll get to Mooch Mooch in a second. But I came in with broken bleep for you because, per your request, I did deliver your message to my work husband, I guess number two, per your also request, Eric Bolling. You challenged him to a duel.
Yes.
And then he called you a coward. And then you went back and said that you wanted to have a fist fight. Fight him in the streets and you wanted to sucker punch him.
Now remember, all of this was as a result of me attempting to serve court-ordered papers on the mayor of the city of New York, Comrade de Blasio, your mayor, not mine. I didn't elect him. At Gracie Mansion the other day. Which resulted in me being arrested after I had been told he would accept the papers, the service, because he gets served there often. But he saw that it was me serving him. He said, no, the cops wrestled me to the side, arrested me, charged me with disorderly conduct. I'll be in court September 25th, Manhattan Criminal Court.
Yeah, you'll be there. I don't know if I'll be there.
Yeah, you see, notice how you vacillate. You're still waiting for me to come up with a retainer.
I'm still waiting for us to have a settlement around what the fee's going to be. Curtis.
Okay, so I'm getting praise everywhere. People say, that's right.
You're such a hero.
Stand up to de Blasio, that guy, you know, he's just... He's a duofage. He is a Pinocchio. He's a liar. And that's what he did. Remember, he was sleeping at the time that I arrived at Gracie Mansion at 7:30. The sergeant in charge of the detail said, "Yeah, the mayor accepts papers all the time. I'm sure."
Well, not from you, not from Curtis Sliwa.
That's what happened when he saw it was me who was servicing him the papers. And remember, the court order indicated I had to personally serve him.
You had to personally serve him. That's correct.
And so I get arrested for that.
Got arrested because you got in front of the SUV, Curtis. But go ahead.
Continue. I did a Tiananmen Square. Yeah, I was like the Chinese student in front of the red Chinese tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hog-tied me, grabbed me away, cuffed me,
hog-tied
and brought me
you.
To the 19th precinct. Okay, that's done. I'll face criminal charges. Meantime, the mayor has been served. A judge has ruled that is proper service because I was there.
Good
he
job.
Was well aware I was there.
Good job.
So he'll have to be in court and face off with me in New York State Supreme Court. Now, you were kind enough at the end of the specialist show that you can watch every Monday through Friday on the Fox News channel, 5 to 6. Although I don't watch it, obviously, because I'm doing the drive.
You're doing double task. You're doing the live 5 drive show here at WABC,
right.
And your TV's up watching the specialist because you're critiquing my look and that of my co-hostess, Kat Timms.
Kat, who I hate, I loathe, I despise. But we'll get to her momentarily. But Eric Bolling, I knew long before I knew you.
Yes.
I'd been on his show when he first debuted at the Fox Business Channel. Mm-hmm. And we used to get along splendidly. In fact, I took him on patrol in downtown Newark. He got some street cred, and he in fact praised me for that, remember?
He sure did, yeah. He said you gave him some street cred.
So you play the film of me getting locked up in front of Gracie Mansion, in front of the house.
It stressed me out, because I almost had to do the show alone, because I was getting text messages at 9 a.m. Oh, Curtis just got arrested, so it's a FYI. So I was thanking Kat and Eric for being far less stressful of a co-host than yours truly here.
But Eric, who has no flexibility in his politics, realized that I was serving the Democrat, liberal, progressive enemy of Donald Trump, Bill de Blasio.
Sure.
And yet then he defamed me. He disparaged me. What exactly were the words that dripped out of Eric Bowling's lips?
Bowling said, "I love you, Curtis, but stop wasting our time."
And as a result, we have posted, if you can go to the Curtis and Ebony Facebook page, you see me in lockup. As I was that morning after they dragged me over to the 19th precinct to process me. It was my 77th arrest in my career. And I'm proud of that arrest.
Yes.
Eric Bowling disparaged me. Thankfully, you defended me.
I did.
But because my honor has been sullied, I challenged him to an Aaron Burr, Alexander Hamilton duel. Remember, at that time, Aaron Burr was vice president of the United States. He challenges the former Secretary of the Treasury to a duel. They roll out to Weehawken in New Jersey, which we can see high atop Madison Square Garden here. We're 17 floors above 7th Avenue. I can see Weehawken where the actual duel took place in the studios provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com. And there was a shot that was fired. As you remember, Aaron Burr's shot hit. Alexander Hamilton was never, I don't even think he was able to fire a shot. The next day, Alexander Hamilton died. So I said, okay, let's be like Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. And I challenged Eric Bowling to a duel because at the Chase Manhattan Bank headquarters on Park Avenue, they actually have the two dueling pistols that were used.
Yes, and I took the printout of the dueling pistols, showed it to Bowling. And Bowling said, then that's when he said, "You're a coward." This was yesterday morning, so you went back and forth. You gave me the message to take to Bowling last evening to say that you wanted to fist fight him.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about it being on
either
pay-per-view.
Either a duel or a fist fight, right.
Yeah, and the pay-per-view and the money will go to charity. Right. So I told that to Bowling.
Yeah.
And then this is essentially what he had to say. Can we get the meat?
Maybe it's dry as hell. Maybe it really smells broken.
Oh my God, she's talking about me.
Maybe it's really rough. Maybe
so specifically, you can keep it playing. Specifically, Curtis, Bowling said to me, this was before we started the specialist, because he could never say this on air. But he said, "I want you to tell Curtis Lewa that he's a..." That right there.
I hate
that's what he said. And then he specifically went on to say that much like President Trump, he would grab you by the...
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. He's ratcheting it up here.
That's what he said. Now, I said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Bowling, you know how Curtis is. You know, he's already half off his rocker. He's crazy. He's a Looney Tune. He's a nut. Is that what you want? That's the message you want me to deliver?" He said, "Oh, yeah."
Does he understand that I jap people, that I sneak up on them like a ninja, and then when they least expect it, I just beat them within an inch of their life?
I just know Bowling called you a...
Maybe it's dry as hell. Maybe it really smells broken...
That's what he called you, Curtis.
Oh, so he was being Scaramucci, huh?
He just said flat out. I said, "Are you sure?" He said, He's
This will be continued.
Yeah,
By the way, side story, what happened to Aaron Burr, former vice president in the United States?
Yes.
Do you know eventually he died in a flop house on Staten Island on Richmond Road? Poor and penniless, where the Bayonne Bridge is now.
Well, that's a lovely ending.
Poor and penniless. By the way, how's Kat doing, your co-hostess who was so traumatized that she got dunked in water the other day? How's she doing?
She's so terrible, Curtis. Kat's doing all right. Kat's doing all right. She'll be on the Fox News specialist with me this evening. So whatever message you have for me to relay back to Bowling, I'll take it, but I can't deliver it till Monday because Bowling's going to be out today.
Yeah, figures. He's hiding.
He's promoting the swamp.
He's hiding. Yeah. Oh, no. He's hiding from me because he knows my MO is I jab people. I ninja them. But by the way, I noticed I was looking up at the boob tube yesterday. You must really be scraping the bottom of the barrel for guests. I'm looking at this guest on the specialist.
A guy
named Joe DeVito, a stand-up comic and writer. He looked like he just got out of Attica. I mean, the guy looked like he was an ex-con. I'm saying to myself, where did they find this guy? Are they running out of guests? Really? How bad did it get? Come on.
I don't have a comment. Unlike Scaramucci, no comment.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-WABC. By the way, this weekend I make my weekly trip up to Saratoga to look at the ponies there, the thoroughbreds. Ooh. Only go once a year. I host a fundraiser for the Guardian Angels while I'm there to keep our activities going in 16 countries, 130 cities. But I'll be with a lot of folks who obviously are going to know you, Ebony K.
Really?
Williams.
Really?
Oh, sure, Saratoga, because the women, they come with their bonnets, their long dresses. You know, have you ever been to Saratoga for the races?
Not for that particular race. I've been to a race, but not Saratoga.
Oh, you must go to Saratoga.
Oh, I can't
you must
wait.
Tell your friends, your Trendoids, your Freakazoid, your Jet Setter friends, that if there is one thing that you want to do before the end of the summer,
okay,
is go for either a Saturday or a Sunday to the thoroughbred, the horse races in Saratoga. And, in fact, I'll be in the backstretch. I'll be talking to the horses and all the illegal aliens who tend them in the backstretch.
Oh, undocumented.
Illegal aliens.
Terrible.
Say ones who will be hiding today out in Brentwood as the President of the United States is coming in and talking about how he's going to eradicate and smash to smithereens MS-13. But you really got to go. So I'll be able to return. A lot of WABC listeners up there, because a lot of people go up for the races on a weekend.
Put my fascinator on and my dress.
They have the spa. You've never heard of the famous Saratoga Spa? Goes back a century.
This sounds kind of highbrow.
It is highbrow.
And bougie. Yeah, you know, I don't know that lifestyle, Curtis, contrary to popular belief.
Really. Our number's 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Up next, we got to talk about that couple down in Palm Beach. Mm. And the reason for the divorce, as specified in their court papers, it wasn't about arguments over money, arguments over how to raise children, arguments over any number of things that lead to divorce. It was that she was a Trumpet and he was a Clintonista, and that it became so difficult in the marriage that that became the rationale, the primary rationale, that they had to go separate ways.
Yeah, calling it the Trump. And we talked, last week, Curtis, there's a dating app. If you're a Trump supporter and you want to make America great again, which we know is a very divisive issue in our current American climate, you can go on a special dating app just for Trumpers.
This is incredible.
So maybe that's what she can do now. She can now go on the Trump dating app.
Yeah, but I think this is the first time ever in divorce papers that people actually got divorced as a result
of politics.
One liking Trump and one liking Hillary Clinton.
Literally.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. It's the brand new Curtis and Ebony K. Williams show, Monday through Fridays, 12 to 3, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. It's your place to be, WABC.
For your midday,
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Is that the best you could do? Come back with a lame rejoin? We didn't have a song.
We should have just came back with more broken, you know what.
Telling you, that is so lame. You know, because Mongolucci.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. We're trying to upgrade the show.
Yay.
Hey.
She's talking about me.
Maybe it's really rough. Are you sure this isn't Mrs. Scaramucci with the foul mouth?
No, this is the great Issa Rae. You got to watch this show, Curtis. I'm going to put you on to Insecure. You would love this show.
Later for that.
It's great.
I don't watch that garbage.
Oh, it's excellent.
But give me the nitty-gritty details, because, as you know, I am an expert on divorce court.
You know, that would actually be a really fun show. You in a robe, a scarlet red robe, high atop a bench.
Yeah.
Doing a Judge Curtis divorce court.
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I could get my vengeance.
Yeah.
On all the times I got screwed. And you've been a participant in divorce court.
I have. I sure have. Yes, one time.
But
last time.
Normally, the issues that are prepared by the lawyers who keep you at bay, because the lawyers don't let you talk to one another.
No, we want to bill, and get all our.
Right. You stay on your side. You stay on your side. We'll do the talking. Have nothing to do with politics or one's politics. I don't ever remember a divorce case like this. So, Counselor Ebony K. Williams, Esquire, could you please break down the details? Tell us who the participants were in this climactic divorce battle.
Well, I'm looking at their picture. Really lovely couple. Really, really attractive. Dave and Lynn Ehrenberg, and they were of Palm Beach. And we know Palm Beach, very kind of, you're talking about Sarasota earlier, that kind of crowd, very haughty-taught, very kind of highbrow, upper echelon. Trump spending a lot of time down there in Mar-a-Lago. I wonder if she ran into Trump at some point. Interesting. We'll see.
There's no doubt.
She's sure.
She's a big-time Trump supporter. And by the way, years ago, it used to be all WASPs. If you were a Jew, forget about it. They wouldn't even let you come and trim the lawn there. Now, it's if you got the dough, if you're old money or new jack money, you're
in. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you're going down there. So they were of that caliber. She was 36, a former NFL cheerleader for the Miami Dolphins. Beautiful, I'm telling you, beautiful girl. I'm looking at her right now, beautiful woman. And he, also attractive guy, older, 46, lifetime Democrat working for the state. He was the Palm Beach County state attorney. And she, big-time Republican, as you say, staunch Republican and supporter of President Trump. And it got so bad, Curtis, the political infighting, that she started to feel lonely and isolated in her marriage to the point where she filed for divorce. And they released a statement, which is kind of corny to me, but they released a joint statement, because, I mean, who are these people, to a press, and said that they are getting what they call an amicable Trump divorce.
So these were the grounds for divorce.
Literally.
Amicable Trump divorce.
That's what it's being called. Married for less than 2 years, so much like my very brief one-year marriage. Call that a starter marriage.
What were the grounds for your divorce, since it lasted only 1 year? You could have gone to Jacoby. He could have gone to Myers. You could have settled it lickety-split.
We did settle it lickety-split because we were both broke, and because this is, goodness, 6, 7 years
Boy,
ago.
Boy, that always helps when you're both broke.
It does help. It made it very easy. We were able to get our divorce in 6 months. And we represented ourselves. Wasn't that easy?
No. What is it? You represented yourself.
Sure.
But you're an attorney, Esquire.
Sure.
Was he an attorney?
Not at all. But when you, there was nothing to fight about. No kids, no property, no money, bada bing, bada boom.
Did you have to have grounds?
No, because we got divorced in California. So it's fault free. Just irreconcilable differences.
So typical freaky deaky California is like we're just set to depart, to detach from one another.
Now, if we'd been in North Carolina, which is where we got married, far more stringent. We would have ended up going through the divorce longer than the marriage, because in North Carolina, you have to be separated a year and a day before you can even file for divorce.
Now, interesting, because we have no fault divorce in New York, but I got divorced with Lisa at the time, who was my morning show partner here. It was Angels in the Morning. We did Morning Drive from 1991 to 1994. Then you had to have grounds for divorce. You couldn't just say, we're not getting along, separate for a year, and then all of a sudden a divorce comes through. So there had to be three grounds. It had to either be mental or physical cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, clearly I wasn't mentally or physically cruel to her. She acknowledged that. It had to be like you were withholding money, you know, in the marriage.
Financial infidelity.
Right. Mm-hmm. As she controlled all the money, as every woman in my life has ever controlled all my money. And then the third thing was that you had to say that you weren't having sex, that I was withholding sex. Now, remember, this is right after I got shot 5 times with hollow point bullets on the orders of John Gotti Sr. to John Gotti Jr. to the Gambino crime family. So I was impotent for 2 years, completely impotent, you know, because I was going for multiple surgeries.
This is entirely too much information, Curtis.
Do you know we came in the morning, right, to do the morning show?
Yes.
And back then, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't Drudge, you didn't have Mr. TMZ here, Ken Duffy, you know, snooping around. The front page of the New York Post that morning is Lisa Sliwa is divorcing Curtis Sliwa, saying he shoots blanks.
Look at that pun.
I look at the front cover of the newspaper. I look at her. I said, what the hell is this? She says to me, my attorney said it would be sealed documents, sealed court documents. I said, sealed court documents? The New York Post and the Daily News, they pay people down at the court to go through the files, and they'll give them a lot of money to come up. And then I'd be walking around in the street. Guys would say, you're shooting blanks, son. And then we'd have a punch out and a big fight right there. I can't tell you how many fights I got into,
Curtis,
because of that.
Don't worry about it. We're going to get later in the show. We're going to be talking about low sperm count and my concern with, you know, some gentlemen that age a little bit, and if that could be a concern. But as you're going to point out, wasn't a problem for you because you had your kids.
Let's quickly go to Danny, who's calling from Dick Sales. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Danny?
Yeah, my wife, they wanted to give me a divorce. So I just went to Dominican Republic and got a divorce. And I just drank some wine and came back. I was divorced.
How long did it take, Daniel?
About a week.
Okay.
Well, that used to be the quickie divorces. You could go to Vegas. You could go to Mexico City. You could go to Santo Domingo and the DR. But, you know, that doesn't really happen any longer.
No, 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 no. But 6 months was great for California. Now, look at this poor schmuck, this couple in Palm Beach. Only married for 2 years. You want to know what she got in the divorce settlement? Only a two-year marriage.
Yeah, it hurt me.
She got $100,000.
Mm.
He's paying the rent on her Boca Raton condo until next year, so she gets a year rent-free. New BMW and $40,000 cash.
$40K for Kardashian cash. But anyway, on that note, let's get our news headlines from Ken Duff.
Bring the noise!
Studio View and WABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect.
A great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen. Take a listen. Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC.
Check that song up. This is what I get for letting Justin Bieber pick the intro song.
So weak. So soft.
This is terrible. We're going to have to give you a do-over on that later. Okay, so this is a brand new study, Curtis, that came out in the Harvard Business Journal that says small talk is an overrated way to build relationship with your employees and presumably employers as well. And I love this because I hate, loathe, and despise small talk. Although I've always been a very talkative person, clearly with a lot to say, I can't stand small talk. And I'll tell you what I don't like, Chris, is that if you're not somebody that engages in small talk, and Brian, our board op, loves small talk. I mean, he'll just talk about any old
Brian
thing.
Brian Mongoose.
Any and everything.
He comes around. He's like a yenta. He's like a male yenta. He's constantly talking nonsense.
Yeah,
it's like
how's the weather? What's the day? What'd you watch it on the tube?
Sort of like, hey.
How about those Mets? How about those Yankees?
I got no time for this nonsense.
How about those heels? Oh, Duke sucks. He's always talking. It's great. But I can't stand it. I can't stand it, period, and I hate it in the workplace. But if you're like me and you're not someone that engages in the office chit-chat and water cooler banter, you know what you get? You get labeled as, oh, you stuck up. Oh, you think you're too good. Oh, you don't have the office camaraderie. And I think that's a bunch of malarkey and it's BS. And in fact, it's better, I say, if you don't do that foolishness. You say what you got to say. You get your point across. That's what we do. Curtis and I, we share an office that's about 3 square feet, and we don't hardly talk at all. It's great.
Nope. I got nothing to say to you. If it ain't related to the program, we got nothing in common.
That's not true.
What do we have in common?
Let me tell you what we got in common. We're both divorced.
Right.
We both love Greek yogurt.
Right.
We both enjoy wearing the color red.
Right.
So we got tons in common.
That gets me angry at you. The only other thing I would say we have in common is that I'm blacker than you, so I can relate to your experience.
What? Get out of here, Curtis Sliwa. You Polack, you. But no, we don't do the small talk. Justin Bieber doesn't do the small talk, and we have a very, very efficient show and program that we put together each and every morning here for Curtis and Ebony to do our three hours.
A lot of small talk, if you notice, in the office or even outside of the office, has to do with rumor mongering.
It's gossiping. Yeah,
right,
we call it, quote, small talk. It's gossip.
Being like washwoman.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys engage in this.
Guys love it. Y'all are the worst corporates, by the way.
They just love it. And, you know, oftentimes you're in a job situation and you find out that the suits, the bosses, the mockers, the muckety mucks, the shot callers, they love it too. Because when they get together with the personnel, they like to hear all the rumors that are going on. They like to hear all the sort of back talk that's going on in the office. So you figure this is a way to curry favor with the bosses because all of a sudden they got open ears.
You know, so my best friend, I remember she had a job once, and the biggest gossip queen in the office was like the senior VP, I mean the high boss. And my friend told me that although you're right, Curtis, she felt like, oh, I'm currying favor. This means I'm on her good side. This is good. It made my friend afraid because she knew if she's willing to talk this much smack about everybody else in this office, it's only a matter of time before it turns on me. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Also, it's fake intimacy. It's not real. Small talk. How's the weather? How are your kids? You don't care about nobody's damn kids at work. You're lying. You know what I mean? And it's foolishness and it's malarkey and it's unproductive and it cuts into the bottom line, the productivity of the workplace.
Well, maybe nobody small talks me because first off, the first question they always ask whenever you're small talk is, hey, how you doing?
And you always say, I've had better days.
I've had better days. And I mad dog them and I fornicate them, so they don't want to come anywhere near me.
I almost don't even say good morning anymore when I walk in, Curtis, because it's like, hey, morning, Curtis. No.
But wait a second. That's part of the Southern Belle ambiance. Southerners like to talk.
We speak. Yeah, we like to speak. And Southerners love small talk.
And exchange pleasantries.
And that's why I think I was so at home when I got to Harlem, USA. I immediately felt comfortable. I was like, oh, a part of my spirit has been longing for this New York way of life where everybody walks about 1,000 miles a minute. And you better not hesitate walking in New York City. You get ran the hell over. And no small talk. What you want, what you need, what you think, why you think it, bada bing, bada boom, we're out of here. In the South, oh, by the way, Curtis, when I was home in North Carolina for the holidays, I about lost my mind, pulled my hair out. Small talking in the grocery store checkout. I tell you, I about wrung that lady's neck. Ma'am, ring up the daggone groceries and get me out of here. Oh, hey, you kids. Oh, that's a lovely sweater you have. Oh, I haven't tried that cereal yet. Is it good? I'm like, lady, if you don't get the hell on out of here, it's terrible.
See, that's a New York attitude. You adopted that real quick. Anyway, our numbers, ladies and gentlemen, 800-848-WABC. Are there any benefits to small talk? Or you like Ebony, or you like yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, and you despise, you loathe, you hate it. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Let me go to Jeff here in Queens, Curtis. This is 77 WABC, Jeff.
Yeah, I've only been listening for like about 10 minutes, but I love Curtis. But I got to ask Curtis about all these jabs that I notice he does on Ebony. Curtis, it's a little unsettling because I find that you're jabbing Ebony constantly. I don't know if you've done it today, but like yesterday, it was like without let up. So I wanted to let you know that it's a little unsettling. And I know that she doesn't do it back to you. She'll respond to you.
Well, because I'm a lady, Jeff. You know, I'm a lady.
It makes you, but it makes him look sort of abusive. And I know Curtis isn't like that.
Yeah.
Well, now, Jeff, she benefits in the fact that she is a femme fatale. I might jab her. But I don't move in and knock her out like I would against a male adversary. You know that. You've seen me before. I'll raise my voice. I'll like unload on the other person. I'll knock them out. With Ebony, yeah, a few jabs, a few, you know, what I call, well, we used
he
to call
them
the
love
street
taps. He thinks that's cute.
Jeff. We used to call it slap boxing in the streets.
Well, don't come over here slapping. You're gonna get your pull back a
right,
nub.
Jeff, you
you'll
know
pull back a nub, Jeff. That's what's gonna happen.
You know what slap boxing is, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. So this is Sliwa Light.
Yes. Okay. This is okay. Sliwa Light.
Well, he better keep it easy, Jeff. Quickly, we'll go to Bob from New York City. Bob, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Ebony, I just want to say something. That caller, it was like we have something in common. That caller was telling Curtis to stop jabbing you. But I got to tell you something. When you call Curtis a Polack, that's like calling him the N-word.
Oh, that really?
Yeah, I know. Let me explain. I told a Polish guy one time. Station, right? I was at a gas station. I was fooling around. I said, "You're a crazy Polack." He says to me, "You say that to me again, I'm throwing you out of my gas station." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because that's like calling me the N-word."
That's crazy. Right? That's your nationality, right?
No, I'm telling you, it's a slant.
Curtis, are you offended that I call you a Polack? Are you not from? Is your people not from Poland?
I am so offended.
Don't play the victim. Don't play the victim.
See,
Bob, you see what you started?
I got to ask you one more question. Ebony.
Yes.
Ebony, if somebody, not me, but if somebody called Curtis a W-I-G-G-A, is that offensive to black people?
I don't know if it's offensive to black people, but I would never call him that because I do think that's offensive. But, like, if Curtis called me, you black American, I would embrace that because I'm black and proud. Yeah. So it's all good. In fact, you should start calling me a beautiful black American princess. Can you start referring to me that way?
That ain't happening.
Please.
By the way, I'm going to call up the Polish Anti-Defamation League and put you on note.
As referring to you as what you are.
A Polak.
Correct.
I, the former Grand Marshal of the Pulaski Day Parade, you show no respect. And by the way, a more pejorative remark that you could have called me in terms of my Polish roots, a yambo.
No, but that's the point, is I don't want to be pejorative. I just want to acknowledge when you try to pretend like you're going to one-up and out-black a black woman, I ain't having it. Not from a Polish person, and that makes you a Polak.
Okay, so when you get the call and management tells you that you've got to appear before the Polish Anti-Defamation League.
Because you tried to call me a less, you saying you're blacker than me, Curtis?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, out of your mind.
Come on.
My name is Ebony. My name is Ebony.
In the streets?
By definition.
If we walk in the streets.
It means black. What is wrong with you?
You will see brothers come up to me and go, yo, my aunt.
No.
And I'm a white boy.
No. Anybody's saying. Nobody's big upping you like that, Curtis, in the streets. You're crazy.
Anyway, let's go to the phone.
Yeah, we'll go quickly to Tess from Bridgeport. Tess, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, Ebony, I have a question. When you meet your colleague, Mika Brzezinski, are you going to call her a Pollock?
Only if she says,
Dr. Brzezinski?
Only if...
John Paul?
John Paul II? Only if Mika says that she's blacker than me. Then I'll have to remind her that she's a Pollock.
Yeah, look up the meaning of the word Pollock. It says it's defamatory in every instance.
I've been defamed.
It's like Curtis calling you the N-word.
Yes, I don't think so.
It is really deeply offensive.
I will never recover from this moment.
Talk to the Polish National Alliance about it.
In fact, report her to them. I just
asked Curtis, and he said he didn't care.
Report her. I will never recover this trauma. I'm so traumatized. I'm telling you the fact that my radio partner, Ebony.
Well, I'm looking it up now because we were actually talking about this before the show, and my Jewish American friends, I used to think that Jew was a defamatory and just.
Oh, I use that term all the time.
Because it's not. Because they were like, no, what are you talking
about?
Hey,
you're a Jew, right? Sid Rosenberg, you're a Jew, right?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, so what are people talking about?
But you called me a Pollock.
Oh, my God. People are tripping. Oh,
my father's turning in his grave, Chester. My grandfather, Anton. My grandmother, Wanda, from Limanova in the Highlands, right before the border in Czechoslovakia. She knows not what she says, but never, never forgive her because I never forgive and I never forget. Right here on WABC.
Oh, look, by the way, okay, real quick. I'm looking it up. The noun Pollock is mistaken to be an ethnic slur or derogatory, but it is actually a word in Polish that reference a Polish person widely used among Polacks worldwide.
Wait a second. You're looking in the George Washington Carver Dictionary. That's a black dictionary.
No, I'm not. You're making it up. No, I'm serious. Thank you. So now, my instincts told me it was okay, and now I just confirmed it.
You have sullied my reputation.
Yeah, right.
You might as well have called me Roman Polanski, right?
That pedophile on a pedestal. You don't want to go that way, Curtis.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
All right, we're going back to the Curtis and Ebony show. So before break, we were having a rather intense and heated conversation about Curtis trying to outblack me. I called you a Pollock. People got super in their feelings about it. So I spent the break doing some research.
Excuse me. My name is Curtis. That's a black name. So don't give me this Ebony trash, huh?
Ebony equals black, like verbatim. Okay, but listen to this. So I said, you know, let me find out. Now, my instincts told me that Pollock just meant the term you use for someone of Polish descent, which Curtis Lewa is. But I looked it up, and it looks like at one point in time that my instincts were right. But over time, Curtis, I stand corrected. Apparently, Pollock in this country now is deemed to be a racial slur. So you know what this is, Curtis? This is a teachable moment. I have been educated today. From now on, when you try to outblack a black woman named Ebony, you know what you're going to get called? A Pole. That's the neutral, non-offensive terminology for someone of Polish descent. No, I'm not calling you that. I'm calling you
a pole. So you're apologizing to me, right?
I'm apologizing to you, which is more than I can say you've ever
Make
done for me.
Of this.
That's
Make
more
of this,
than you
please.
Have ever done for me. Now we'll go to the phones with Gil from Yonkers. You're on 77 WABC, Gil.
Hi, yeah. A term among the Irish is Paddy. And
no, I know that's a racial slur because that's Paddy Wagon. No, I know that. I would never do that.
Oh, I use that term all the time.
Well, that's because he's ridiculous.
You know, but he's a schnook. You know, what are you going to do? All right. I'm glad you apologize. And you know what? Here's a question I got to ask you. Would everybody be so incensed if it was a white guy on the radio talking about the N-word?
Probably not, Gil. I don't think people would care. And that's a good point. Let's
All
quickly
right,
before.
Thank you,
Gil. And thanks for being a part of the education. Dave from Brooklyn. You're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Ebony. Hi, Curtis. How are you?
He's had better days. Go ahead, Dave.
I just got called a schmuck.
I try to be a frequent caller. I do listen to your show quite often around this time of the day. And I just wanted to make a statement in regards to that. I was born in this country 50 years ago, Chinese, American. And, you know, not more than like a few weeks ago, you know, on the street, you know, somebody was trying to get my attention. And the person said to me, hey,
Well, we had a teachable moment here on Curtis and
you
Ebony.
You cut off a Chinese guy.
No, that's what you did.
You're anti-Chinese.
You're terrible.
Bring the noise.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio talk show host. Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions. I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up.
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
No need to ask. He's a smooth operator.
Sade, Sade, Sade. Oh, this is the kind of music that you can really groove to.
This is what they call baby-making music. And, you know, let me just tell a quick side hustle story. I have a monthly breakfast with a dear friend of mine, an older gentleman, well into his 80s, who offers me counsel and advice about profession and life and all these wonderful things. And we do it every month at the Yale Club because he's an alum of Yale University.
Sounds a bit weird.
What do I care what you think?
A grandfather complex?
I care what Curtis Sliwa thinks. You think you're the barometer of weirdness in my world? Get out of here, Sliwa. So I just have an eclectic social circle, an eclectic group of friends.
Yeah.
So I go to my monthly meeting at the Yale Club.
Oh,
this was yesterday morning.
You said that twice.
Well, because that's the point of the story.
Trying to impress us.
No, it's the point of the context of the story. Context. Shut up, Sliwa. So I'm in this elevator, and these very haughty-taught people are getting out, and this woman starts talking about how much she loves baby-making music, and then proceeds to say that some of her favorite artists are Keith Sweat, R. Kelly, Mr. Bump and Grind, pedophile himself, and a slew of other...
My favorites.
But I just was like, huh, this is such a weird and peculiar moment that I'm in the elevator at the Yale Club at about 7:30 a.m., and this woman is talking about bumping and grinding and baby-making music.
Well, that's why when you hear Sade, you say to yourself, oh, got to go to the dance floor. In fact, notice what it does to Ebony K. Williams if you go to WABCradio.com/live. It causes her to get into the boogaloo feel. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
But you were wrong about your friend, your pal, your combatichich, Scamucci, the Mooch.
Oh, Mooch.
I told you this guy was a greaseball, was a total gavone, a jadru, a knuckle dragger, and he proved that.
Well, leave Mooch alone. He's just a little, that's Mooch.
Can't leave
him
alone.
He's like a Scorsese film.
As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com. I called this guy out. I saw the grease coming right out of him. He's an oily guy. When he first came to the podium and he said, I'm the communications director, and I'm going to find all the leakers here in the Trump administration, starting in the West Wing, the White House. Well, apparently he had a sit-down dinner with the president and your very dear friend, Sean Hannity.
Mm-hmm.
And
your
former boss there.
Sure was my boss, Shine, Bill Shine.
At the Fox News Channel.
Sure.
So I can imagine what that was like. That was like super testosterone in the room where they're all talking about, yeah, we got to get
just
these.
A little bit of ego.
We got to get these leakers. We got to get these leakers. That's right. And Scaramucci said, yeah, boss. Yeah. I'm going to get the leakers. I told you he's a hedge fund monster, and that's the way these guys on Wall Street talk. They need Felsnap the soap if they're gentle. Tiles, Rokish kosher soap if they happen to be Jews, because the guy has a filthy mouth, and he proved that over and over again to a reporter at the New Yorker. Because after he leaves the meal at the White House with the president, Sean Hannity, Bill Freeze, he then goes to wherever he's staying in Washington while he's the communications director. He gets on the phone probably at about 10 o'clock at night with a New Yorker reporter who had done a report based on leaks from the West Wing, the White House.
Sure.
And he demanded of her that she give up the leaks. And she naturally, good reporter, nah, I'm not giving up the leaks.
You.
Yeah, you too, Madonna.
You.
Yeah, you're going overseas, right, and snatching up black babies there in Africa. What about all the African-American kids here in foundling hospitals?
You know, that's probably the only racial point you ever make that I agree with. Well, see, something else we have in common.
So here's Scaramucci, ahead, right? Here's foul-mouthed Scaramucci. Then using the most sordid language imaginable to describe Bannon and rinse out Priebus, the White House guardkeeper for the president, chief of staff, and Bannon, who's always this nefarious character. This,
oh, Bannon's a mess.
So this, what can we call Grim Reaper character?
Hmm.
And he just, like, goes off on them, and he swears that if he's got to fire everyone who's part of the communications division of the White House, he's going to do that until he gets rid of all the leakers. And then, I guess after he wakes up, after he gets out of his drunken state, he tweets out that, what was the exact tweet? I used foul language. I really shouldn't use
colorful,
that language.
Colorful language.
Right,
colorful
but I'm going to get all the leakers. And you know something? This is all Trump's doing. Trump brings him into the administration to stir the pot, to pit people against one another. This is the kind of language that Scaramucci has used moving up the ladder, the corporate ladder, as a hedge fund monster and as a talking head.
Why are you demonizing success like that? What's wrong with being a hedge fund guy?
Because I told you, he's a greaseball. He's a gavon.
What's he made? He's a made man? What are you talking about?
Well, he might as well be.
Oh, okay.
The way he was talking.
I think you're just jealous of Mucci's
hair. And
he's
bullying
people. You're just jealous of Mucci. By the way, Curtis, if you go to WABC Radio/live, you can see my co-host here has clearly gotten an advanced copy of Pretty Powerful Appearance Substance and Success, because you, Curtis Sliwa, look quite dashing today in your new haircut.
And it wasn't because of your book, that's for
sure. Of course it was. Of course it was. You had to step your game up.
We got to have another infomercial. First it's Savage, then it's Levin. What's the name of your book here, huh?
Pretty Powerful Appearance Substances Success. And you, Curtis Sliwa, taking a page literally out of the book, getting your sporty haircut.
Where can I get an advanced copy?
Oh, you can get a copy, pre-order it right now, Amazon.com or
Amazon,
Barnes & Noble.
It's going to put everybody out of work out there,
that's,
right?
That's correct.
You're
that's
just
correct.
Feeding the beast. You're but feeding
you're,
the beast.
You're jealous of Mooch's nice, slick, full
he
head of hair.
Should be just, fired.
Who's Mooch?
For the way he treated that reporter, for the language that he used, for the attitude that he's projecting. Except I know that this is exactly what Donald Trump wants. Trump brings him in, stirs up the pot, turns people against one another. That's what he did in the Trump Organization over the years. That's what he became famous for. And that's what he's doing, planting these seeds of acrimony in the White House. It's not gonna do any good. It's not gonna stop the leaking, because the biggest leaker of all is the president
is Trump.
Of the United States.
Well, I love this is my favorite thing probably about President Trump, or one of how he calls the New York Times the low rated, almost broke New York Times fake news propaganda machine. And you know his favorite place to call when he wants to say something? The New York Times. Of course.
Of course.
I love it. Let's go to the lines now. Oh, Charlie from New Jersey calling 77 WABC. Charlie.
Yes. Hi, Ebony. Actually, this is for you and Curtis. Curtis, you've used the word "inny" before for Italian, and you said somebody was too sensitive about it. Today, you've used the word "greaseball" at least three or four times, referring to an Italian.
Yes, Scaramucci.
That is like calling a black person with the N-word.
Oh, here we go.
See what you started? See what you started? It was your fault,
so
Curtis.
So you mean to tell me I was called growing up a guinea wop and a dago, right? And I use those terms from time to time. And then I call this guy Scaramucci a greaseball, a jadrool, a knuckle dragger when he first came to the podium. And waxing poetic about him as a smooth operator was our own Ebony K. Williams.
I like the mooch.
Now that
I
you've
like
seen
mooch.
The language that he's used, Charlie, to a woman, do you not agree with me he's a greaseball?
I don't agree with you at all, and I'm offended.
There you go. You know what, Charlie? I'm glad you called, because I think that today, what is today's date? July 26th? What's today? 28th.
Wow.
I'm getting old, Curtis. Don't judge me. So 28th, this is going to go down in history. We're running a clinic here at the Curtis and Ebony Show on the proper phrases for particular communities culturally across the country.
Charlie.
This is great.
You know, if it helps you any, why don't you just go out and get a nice bowl of macaroni and meatballs, huh?
Thank you, Ebony. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie, for holding us accountable. I like it.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. I say fire Scaramucci.
You're fired.
Fire the mooch.
You're
I
fired.
I love the mooch. He's going to make it great again, Curtis. Quit hating.
I hate this guy.
You just hate his hate. You're just jealous.
Anyway, let's go to Tommy, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Thomas?
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Ebony. Hey, don't you think it's a parody of My Cousin Vinny going to Washington?
I could see that. I was going to give him a little more credit and say more like a Scorsese film, a little more Casino. A little more Casino, a little less Cousin Vinny. But I can see where you're going with that, Thomas.
Yeah, because nobody's criticized him of his passion for Donald Trump. It's just the way he's going about it. It seems very unprofessional.
Well, hold on.
Because he just got the passion
for
Trump.
A year ago, the guy couldn't be more critical of Donald Trump. The guy was a Hillary supporter.
He called him a hack.
Right. Called him a hack. Called him other things. But you see, it's like anything else. He's a hedge fund monster. So wherever the money and the power is, he goes with it. So now he's kissing Donald Trump's tuchus.
Well, I think that's a good point. The flip-flop of Mooch. And Mario Cantone, this is a guy, most people remember him from playing Charlotte's gay wedding stylist on Sex and the City. He had a great Mooch impression that was put on Comedy Central last night.
And I love President Trump. He's the love of my life. And I love love. I love love. I can suck my own
Can you comment on the fact that only a few years ago you supported Democrats, were pro-choice and pro-gun control?
You're talking to me or him? This guy is phenomenal. I've seen him at Madison Square Garden in a top coat hitting foul shots. Swish, swish, it's swish. I've also seen him eat a live raccoon, bones and all, and shit out a Siamese house cat.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Pretty accurate. Yeah, pretty accurate.
I just can't understand why you keep defending kissing this guy's backside.
Well, it's I guess Joe from Jersey has the same question. Joe, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Ebony. How are you? Hi, Curtis. As an Italian, full-blooded Italian, I could tell you, the guy's a greaseball. How you, Ebony, as a woman, could like this guy, I have no idea. Other than him being a billionaire.
No, that's not. Here's the thing, Joe. You got to remember, I worked with Mooch for a few years now. He's my colleague for quite a few years at the Fox News Channel. So I've been on several programs with him. O'Reilly, the Fox News Specialist, Hannity. So he's always been a great guy. Also, philanthropically, he does a fundraiser with the New York Jets every year, raises money for lupus. So that's the context in which I know the Mooch, from being a good guy raising money for a good cause.
Yeah, but the comments he made. Let me ask you a question as a lawyer.
Sure.
By him saying, "I'll kill them all," is that a terroristic threat, or am I imagining things?
Well, it's free speech. The way Mooch is saying it, it's more like a expression of speech. Now, if he puts some action behind now he's got a problem.
No, he should be reported to the Secret Service.
Shut up, Sleema.
And the reason being is he said...
If that's the barometer, how you're going to spend your life as Secret Service?
Let me explain. He said, I want to kill them all the leakers.
Correct.
The number one leaker in the West Wing, the White House, is Donald Trump.
So
now he's going to kill the president?
He's threatening the president. Mm-hmm. No, but we know that that's just a figure of speech. Come on, Curtis.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
Up on the line, the law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Back to the phones we go. I told you, your Kumbada Cheech. Scaramucci, the Mooch.
Leave the Mooch alone, Curtis.
A grease ball, a gabon.
Just has good moisturizer.
A jadru.
It's not grease, it's moisturizer.
Animal.
Olive oil.
That's what my grandfather, Fidel Bianchino, would have called him. Animal. Anyway, to the phones we go. It's Tom in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Tommy?
Hey, how are you, Curtis and Ebony? I know you've had some better days, Curtis.
Exactly.
Ebony, I just had a couple of comments.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy you on this show, and I think you're a very well-educated woman, who I normally agree with. But on this, I have to agree with Curtis. Scaramucci is a greaseball.
What? What? Everybody's giving Mooch a hard time. Tom.
He is the epitome of every bad, stereotypical attitude that has ever been given towards Italians. And I'm not Italian, but my wife is Sicilian-born, and my children are all half-Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never, ever, other than the likes of a Ravenite social club punk, seen the likes of anybody like Scaramucci in a public office. The man is an absolute disgrace.
Mm. Dang.
And how you could defend him and come to his defense is beyond me.
Well, Tom, I just told you why. It's because my context. You got to remember, I literally met Mooch at a fundraiser for people with lupus. I had a friend. She had lupus. Mooch,
my daughter suffers with lupus.
Okay.
So does my wife.
So then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's a very fine cause, but that doesn't give him an excuse.
No, but that's what I know. That's the Mooch I know, though, Tom. But, Tom, you asked me, how could Ebony defend him? That's the Mooch I met. That's the Mooch I know. You know what I mean?
So just like you apologized earlier in the show for calling me a Polack, you should apologize.
No, definitely not doing that.
For all the platitudes that you have attributed to this Mongolooch.
First of all, I hate having to apologize to you, Curtis, but you know what? I'm a grown woman. I'm a woman to my word. When you know better, you do better. I was educated today on the Curtis and Ebony show to understand that term, which you use, I won't be using it anymore. It is offensive. So from now on, you're just going to be called a Pole.
Language.
You're just a Pole.
The language that
I hear you, but that's
White
not the
House
Mooch I know.
Communications director Anthony Scaramucci.
That's not the Mooch I know.
We can't even repeat these words on the air.
Understood.
That's how bad they are.
Understood. That's not the Mooch that I know.
Let's go to Vic in the Bronx. So welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Vic.
Hey, what's happening, Kurt? Haven't talked to you in a while. And congratulations, Ebony. I swear, you are the perfect package.
Oh, thank you. That is just a way to make a gal feel good on a Friday. Thank you.
And let me tell you, you are definitely a good eye candy for Curtis. And speaking about the Mooch, Curtis, when he was looking at his partner before, talking about the Mooch, I think, what is his name?
Scaramucci? Trump.
That's his enemy.
Do you think they're like kindred spirits?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why these guys get together.
Yeah.
That's why they're so tight. And what I understand about him, he is a very obnoxious. And I met the guy once.
Mooch? You met Mooch once?
The Mooch.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh, he is disgusting.
No, I think that he is. You know, got that bravado, like that New York. I think maybe Staten Island, wherever the heck he's from, Long Island. That bravado.
Yes.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Let me tell you, because of his wealth, that's the problem. He doesn't see outside of his circle, and he really belittles a lot of people.
But see, okay, can I say this? And I clearly turned into the Mooch defense segment. I don't know how that happened, but I got to be honest. That's fine. So be it, right? So be it. And I don't know him that well, but I probably ran into him about 12 to 15 times over the course of my time working with him at Fox News
and
in the community.
And you never heard him drop these words.
Not only that, the caller just said, you know, he was standoffish in United Circle. I am a little brown girl from North Carolina just trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. And I got to tell you, I don't have anything to give Mooch at all. He was always so kind to me, respectful, treated me like
naivete.
A lady.
Now
no,
you're
I'm
hiding
just
behind.
Being honest.
I'm just a Southern belle.
I am.
So naive.
No, it's just I don't have anything to offer him. And he was always very kind to me. I just have to at least be honest about the way I've experienced the Mooch.
Let's go to Bill, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony. K. Williams here at WABC. Billy?
Curtis, hey, you are a man. I love the show, but believe it or not, I miss Kuby a little bit, but that's neither here nor there.
Me too.
He used to provoke me into calling, but I do like everybody on the show. You know, this Italian guy in the White House, I'm half Italian. Maybe he's all Italian. I don't know. But the guy's got gusto. He's got marbles. He tells it like it is. And besides, you come to my house on the date of my daughters to be married, you don't ask for friendship. You don't ask for respect.
Oh,
instead, you ask me to murder for money.
Mm-hmm.
I ask for justice. That is not justice. Your daughter is still alive. If you had come to me first, the scum that you had ruined your daughter's life would be suffering this very moment.
That's good, Bill. That's real good.
Very good.
That's very good, Bill.
And that's exactly the mold that Scaramucci has cut out. Although,
I said he's a Scorsese.
He's also a punk because, like Trump, he never got into a fight. I can tell. These are guys, they talk trash.
Lord have
mercy. All the invective flows from their lips. They love to drop curse words, and they never had a fight in their life. I bet you. Did you ever shake Scaramucci's hand?
Sure.
Not a callus on his hand. Soft hands like Trump. Small, soft hands.
What kind of hand you got, Curtis? Let me see your hand.
See, look at that.
Smooth. I don't see any. Look at this. Your hand, my hand is more rough and callous and has done more hard labor than yours.
Picking cotton in the cotton field.
So wow. You're actually going to be
claiming you were in the field.
Curtis.
As a sharecropper.
Even Ken Duffy can't believe you went there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Fuck you.
Please, you never been in the fields.
Fuck you.
I fertilized fields before you were in the fields. Oh, my Lord. Anyway, Ken Duffy, end this discussion because I can't deal with her friend, the greaseball, the gooch. He's not a mooch. He's a gooch, Scarmucci, and a disgrace to all Italian-American peoples.
Save him, Duffy.
Did I make my point?
For your midday,
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, mommy, I got that in the ticket. I'm in the habit, I ain't in the making love. So come give me a hug.
What is it, your birthday, Ebony?
No, but it is coming up September 9th, and I cannot wait to see what you're going to gift me with. It's going to be great.
This is this degenerate hip-hop monster.
Well, that's somebody you got a lot in common with, actually.
50 Cent.
Something you have a lot in common with.
That's right, because what is his name?
Well, his name is 50 Cent, but you...
No.
He got shot nine... Curtis. Yes, of course.
Curtis Jackson.
Curtis Jackson. And you got shot five times, and he got shot nine times.
That's right.
So you guys are pretty much the same.
Unfortunately, he lived.
As did you.
But why are you playing the degenerate hip-hop monster birthday song? The clean version, I might add. We didn't play the unclean version of Curtis Jackson, a.k.a. 50 Cent.
Curtis, you're like stressing me out, dude. Okay, so first of all, Justin Belove is the one that picked it. So if you piss about it, get mad at him.
Well, I actually like that song.
I know you do.
It's the theme song for my We Be Thugging updates on the drive home.
I'm sorry, what was that one more time?
The We Be Thugging updates.
Yeah, but you're blacker, right?
That's right.
So there's that. And we came back with this because the topic for the we're going to go into, beer. You haven't had a beer in, what, 2 years?
Can't because of my colitis and ileitis, although people are always offering to buy me brewskis. Like recently, I threw out the first pitch at the Brooklyn Cyclones game, my minor league affiliate of the New York Mets in Coney Island. Great, great family place to bring your kids and family. And naturally, you know, people are coming up, hey, can I buy you a beer? Can I buy you a beer? Can I buy
you
a beer?
And you have to say no because you got your
right. My
colitis.
Girlfriend, Nancy Regula, she is a beer aficionado. She knows all the different
craft
brands.
Beers
right,
and everything. Very all fancy.
She loves Brooklyn beer, you know, from the brewery.
I do, too. My favorite beer is actually Abita, which is brewed in Louisiana from the wonderful spring water down there. But I digress. I brought us in with that song from Curtis Jackson, a.k.a. 50 Cent, because it's been 2 years since you've had a beer, and I've got good news. One might be on the horizon for you, Curtis Sliwa, because there is now on the market, coming very, very soon, they're trying to get us probiotic bacteria beer. So this is basically healthy beer. Imagine beer meets health food. It can improve your gut health and boost your immune system. How about that? Curtis Sliwa, you too can be back on the trendoid, freakish beer trend.
So let me get this straight. I could have a Ballantine Blast, Ballantine beer. I think that was the first beer I drank. Or was it, it was, I think, Rheingold. Well, it could have been Schaefer. You know, Puerto Ricans used to love Schaefer beer. And then there was the all-time cheap beer, Bohack beer, a supermarket no longer.
I haven't heard any of these brands.
Oh, they were very, very popular years ago in the 60s and 17. The Ballantine Blast, Ballantine beer sponsored the Yankees. Rheingold sponsored the Mets. Schaefer would go back and forth sponsoring all different teams. You know, and all that. And then naturally you had, are they doing it for malt liquor? Like Old English, Colt 45?
No, it looks like it's right now just going to be beer because of the hops issue. See, that's been the problem. The hops would compete with the probiotics and they would clash each other out. But now these researchers in China have come up with this beer, hopefully, that will be able to overcome the hops, and you people with the digestive issues can enjoy a brewski
once
again.
Which there are many out there. You know, they have toothpaste now with probiotics. They have pizza. They make pizza with probiotics.
It's amazing.
So they're incorporating probiotics into pizza. I have a more lingering concern, though.
What is that, Curtis?
For guys, whether they have stomach issues or not, or women, whether they have stomach issues or not. we are running into a major problem here in the good old U.S. of A., where, you know, you have real men's men, and their sperm count is so dismally low now.
Really?
And I'm trying to figure out, what is it that is driving men's sperm count down to an all-time record low? You know, some would say, well, it's environmental. You know, it's the foods we eat. I really think it's the feminization of America.
What are you talking about, Curtis?
The wussification of American men.
In what way?
Well, are they
being wussified?
Constantly berated by women. Constantly just gnatted at by women.
Are you kidding me? You make a lifestyle out of ding, 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 digging on Ebony every single chance you get.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect my sperm count.
Oh, gross. I don't want to even talk about your sperm count.
I understand that because, remember, I don't have any more because my prostate was taken out.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm
that's
relieved
recent.
Of that.
That's recent,
right,
though.
That's recent.
Because I was going to say, Justin B-Love, our producer, his prediction around why male sperm count is decreasing, and I think it's a good idea. At least it makes sense to me. Laptop computers sitting on men's laps and the iPads and all of the electronics and all of that, thing may be a factor.
Are you suggesting that men should go back to more lap dances instead of having laptops on their lower section?
I might surprise you. I don't care about the strip club. That's fine. If guys want to do the gentleman club thing, get a couple of dances, have a little entertainment.
But this has to concern women because you haven't perfected the art of cloning your own yet.
So we still need the sperm to have said children. And I'll tell you another point I wanted to bring up for this one, Curtis. And many women like me in the kind of the early 30s, well, we're realizing that a lot of these guys our age, they can't keep up. They can't keep up intellectually, emotionally, or really in any capacity that we're enjoying life and the pace that we're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? We're dating older. We're dating older men, 10, 15, sometimes even 20 years older. All good, except for if you haven't had children yet, some of my friends are worried that if you're dating these men, everybody hears the alarm conversation around women's infertility as we age. But men, there are also studies, Curtis, that men, as they age, their fertility becomes questionable as well. But you, sir, didn't seem to have that problem.
No, I didn't. I was a sperm donor. In fact, in order to bring Anthony into the world, my first son, my oldest son, who's 13, who's basically grown up on the radio, I donated the sperm to my wife at the time, Mary.
I don't know how he got so cute. Must be Mary.
Because my age was up, and obviously his mother's age was up. And then in having my youngest sons, Carter and Hunter, Carter who's 9, Hunter who's 6, I donated sperm to their mother.
And you were in your 50s, huh?
Right. Mm. So I didn't necessarily have that issue, but
it's some men do. As they get older.
Increasingly younger and younger men are having that issue in the United States.
That's true as well.
And it has to be of concern to everybody because if you really want a child, you see, the interesting thing is, I'll go into a neighborhood and there are women who are having kids who really never wanted kids.
Like what age women? I'm just wondering.
In their 20s.
Yeah, I think that, because I'm really indifferent about it. I could maybe have one, maybe, possibly, if it never happens. I don't feel like it's any big wash over my life, but some of my friends, because that's all they want in life is to be a mom.
Right.
So they're gravely concerned about this sperm low count issue.
Right.
For sure.
And then when I would go to the clinic to donate my sperm, I would see, unfortunately, couples there who were struggling, having a problem, sometimes because the man's sperm count was not...
potent.
Right. Was not where it needed to be in order to consummate the situation and to have a child. And you look and you say, God, how can this be? In some places, people are having babies who don't want babies.
Sure, all the time.
In other places, they're struggling and they're spending an incredible amount of money. And oftentimes, it's because of the low sperm count.
I've got a couple best friends. One of them, third miscarriage. They're in their early 30s. Both her and the husband, fit as horses. I mean, they look amazing. The picture of health. Undiagnosed infertility, spent, I think they're around $60,000 so far they've spent trying to successfully get pregnant.
Let me put the call out, because I've said the reason I think men's sperm count is much lower to the point where it's in a crisis mode here in the United States is the feminization of men, the wussification of men. We can't be men any longer.
What are you talking about, Chris? I would want to even entertain your notion.
Let's go to Greg. Greg in New Jersey.
Oh, maybe he understands.
1-800-848-WABC. Thanks for joining us here at WABC, Greg.
Yeah. The hipsters are wearing earrings, man buns, and rompers. And we want to know why the sperm counts are low? Come on.
Right. Well, think of it. Earrings, rompers, and man buns.
But we've been wearing earrings for like 30 years, since like Michael Jordan with his hoop back in like 83. Yeah, what are you talking
but
about?
But not to the extent now. Right, Greg?
Yeah, it's correct, Curtis. Come
it's,
on.
It's a whole generation. And these are the younger men whose sperm counts.
Well, maybe that's
really
why I don't date
up.
Them. I can't do those young men. I can't do the man buns. I can't do the rompers. I can't do the capri pants that especially you see these trends a lot, like in the NFL and the NBA. I mean, they go to the press conference. They literally have on capri pants.
And the tidy whiteys, too. Come on, go back to boxers.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole. We could do a show on that because you know every
you mean
woman
boxes
has a,
or briefs.
Yeah, every woman has a different preference on that.
What is your preference? You have to think about it.
Not tidy whiteys, either boxers or boxer briefs. Tidy whiteys, though, no. It shouldn't look like a bikini cut speedo. No, thank you. So that's probably what you wear, huh, Curtis? You look like a tidy whitey guy.
No, I can't tell you what I wear because it's embarrassing at times.
Do you wear nothing?
No, when you have your prostate out, you have to wear something else.
All right. Well, I don't have a prostate, so I don't know. And on that note,
damn right, you don't have a prostate.
No.
That's
no.
One thing you women cannot rob from us
That's
is our
true.
Prostates
That's
that
true.
Make us a man.
Oh, look how defensive
Maybe
you
a
get.
Surgeon can. Maybe a robot can. But no woman can.
Oh.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's finally go, if we can, to James, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. James?
Good afternoon, Curtis and Ebony. There's quite a few factors that play it, and I don't think they're necessarily age-related. Because in Europe, the sperm count or the fertility rate has dropped as well. I just think that the overall diet and then the stress level that people take on at a younger age contributes to it.
And where does the stress for men come from? From their women folk.
Well, Curtis, you can be very stressful as well.
Very stressful. If I was a man, James, my sperm count would be zero, okay, dealing with this one every day for 15 hours a week.
Especially with the remark about picking cotton. I think Curtis definitely owes you and many other people an apology on
what
that
is
one.
This?
That
was, what is this, really apology much... day? She called me a Pollock.
And I apologize.
Now I have to apologize? No, she ain't getting no apology from me.
Well, that's because I'm more of an adult than Curtis, James. You know, you see where the class level is on this show.
You know, you're
he
all,
sees where the class
you're
is.
You're ultra-sensitive. You're ultra sensitive.
Curtis, you were the one that said you were taking me to the Polish-American Federation and you were going to report me.
Anti-defamation.
Whatever.
Polish anti-defamation.
Okay,
week.
You were going to report me, but I'm sensitive. Come on. Oh,
yeah, what
police.
Are you going to report me to the NAACP or to Al Slim Shady Sharpton and the National Action Hate Network?
No, I don't do Sharpton. And you, and you know that.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Going straight to the phones on this one with August. I love that name from Staten Island. You're on 77 WABC, August.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
He's had better days. I'm good, though.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. I think that the lower sperm counts are due to two things. One, hormones that have entered into the food chain to improve the quality of the both the beef and also fruits and vegetables. And also, men over the last 50 to 100 years are actually spending more time sitting on their genitals, heating it up, and the sperm counts will go down as a result.
Oh, so your genitals, yeah, it's sort of like you're cooping out your genitals. So it's a lot harder when you're sitting on them than when you're stretching them and walking about.
Right, and we know that... you know, they have to be kept cooler because at a higher temperature, let's say like undescended testicles, those
oh
people
God.
Become sterile.
We are getting into August, are you a physician? What's going on? Are you
actually,
a physician?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I had to be.
So
had
now,
to be. I could
it,
tell.
Would it help
We're getting
August,
into the weeds.
Would it help just to put a few ice cubes down your trouser pants?
Either that or air those bad boys out.
Yeah, I think so. You see, at
the
least
doctor
August,
is in,
August came
you.
Up with a remedy.
Well, he's a doctor. I would hope so. Well, he figured it out. So hopefully you and Nancy can have another little one, Curtis. That'd be excellent. We need another sleeper. Like I need a hole in my head.
Bring the noise!
Curtis.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host. Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up.
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. Stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after two, as we sit very high atop Madison Square Garden on the 17th floor, to be exact, in these amazing studios brought to us by NJDiet.com. Controversy is certainly what took place last night, Curtis Sliwa, when the U.S. Senate once again failed to provide the change that they promised the American people.
I thought you talked about the controversy of playing Eminem, that degenerate hip-hop monster, while I'm sitting here and I'm watching you do the chicken wing dance. I don't know what that was, but if you could go to WABCradio.com/live, you get to watch the program in addition to listen to it, and you can see Ebony Kardashian Williams dressed all in her green outfit
money
today.
Green outfit, yes, sir.
And she was doing the chicken wing dance. I haven't seen the chicken wing dance in years. What was that?
I mean, this is what we call fake news, Curtis. You made that up. I was not doing any such thing. I was minding my business, bobbing a little bit to it, the sounds of Eminem. Oh, who, by the way, I miss Eminem. You know, Eminem, I mean, that was like a thing.
Oh, he's probably dropping pills.
No, he's sober. He's clean and sober.
Oxycodone, Percocet.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, he's the guy who wanted to, he wanted to rape his own mother, kill his own old lady.
We digress. The controversy instead that I was referring to, Curtis, was yesterday's historic U.S. Senate vote. This was supposed to be the moment. This was going to be the moment that the GOP finally delivered on its promise, its seven-year promise of the American people to both repeal and replace Obamacare.
You didn't really believe that, did you?
Wait for it. and that's certainly what they've sold. And every Republican in America has run on that premise for 7 years now, to the tune of now they control the White House, the United States Congress, both chambers, no less. And people were really, really excited in the GOP, Curtis, earlier in the week when John McCain, after a horrible, horrible diagnosis of brain cancer, historically and miraculously got on an airplane from Arizona, flew to D.C., cast the all-important vote that allowed for this whole concept of health care reform to go at least to discussion. That was the first step. And the GOP and all my friends in the GOP were thrilled. McCain was their hero. You know what the Dems said? Oh, McCain is horrible. Oh, he got his taxpayer funded health care, and he got off his deathbed to go take health care away from 22 million Americans. Well, you know what I say to those people, Curtis? Not so fast. Because last night in the wee hours of the morning, John McCain, well, you know what? He pretty much had this to say around health care reform. You really couldn't hear, but he said no. He did the thumbs down when they asked for his vote. And then you heard those audible gasps in the chamber because people were surprised.
So he was acting like Julius Caesar at the Colosseum. Should the Christians live or die at the hands of the gladiators? And he went thumbs down.
Thumbs down. And it was a little show, we got to say, right before he went into the chamber.
That's right. He told everyone, look at the show I'm going to put on.
Watch the show. Right. Yeah. And he did. I mean, ultimately, him. And I will say I'm looking at social media, Curtis, and I want to. Well, let me finish the McCain part, because then I got to bring the female perspective because a lot of people are feeling some kind of way that all of the news today is McCain as the hero, when there are two women senators, Susan Collins and Murkowski, who from day one have been against all of this health care reform coverage. But the reason why McCain has been such a interesting and high profile figure in this conversation is because he's really kind of gone on both sides of this. Now, we know that he wants to repeal and replace Obamacare, but during my show yesterday, the Fox News specialist, which I co-host with Eric Bowling and your best friend Kat Timpf, McCain and Lindsey Graham took to the stage. McCain saying this.
We've got to have some bipartisanship. All of you saw my speech, which I will be glad to provide you with a recording of in case you missed it, in case you have insomnia. But the point is, we've got to have Republicans and Democrats sit down together and come up with a bill that gets a majority in both houses.
Okay, so he kind of said yesterday that he was not feeling this current, quote, skinny bill because it didn't have any bipartisan support.
Well, that had to hurt you because that skinny bill would have taken away the tax that you and the millennials and hipsters pay on a regular basis.
I know, because you're right. I'm not paying that overpriced sometimes $800 premiums. Nope, I paid the penalty for the past 2 years I've paid the penalty. This year I won't have to because, you know, God is good and I have a job now that finally provides me with health care coverage. But no, you're right, Curtis. I'll pay that penalty any day of the week over those inflated premiums. But you know who was standing beside John McCain in that moment up there, Curtis, talking a big talk? Was Senator Lindsey Graham from the great state of South Carolina. Senator Graham had this to say.
The skinny bill as policy is a disaster. The skinny bill as a replacement for Obamacare is a fraud. The skinny bill is a vehicle to get in conference to find a replacement. It is not a replacement in of itself.
Now, and after saying that, Curtis, you know what Senator Graham did?
He voted for it.
Voted for the fraud, replacement, disaster, skinny bill.
That shows you how these guys just style and profile before the cameras because they're lens lights. And then hours later, why? Because all of a sudden it became dusk. You know, he became a vampire and he decided he was going to vote for it. But let's look at John McCain. You pointed out, savior. Right, of this health care bill.
The return of the maverick, people are saying.
And vilified by the Democrats.
Well, at first, now they're hero.
Now he's their hero, and he is the executioner to the Republicans. But was it really based on his belief system? Because, remember, when the vote came up to repeal, he opposed it. But when the vote came up to repeal and replace, he supported it in this round of voting. I think what happened with John McCain, and let's open up the phone lines on this, because, you know, they're talking about John McCain, the maverick, you know, he's not like the rest, you know, he's always separate and distinct. I think he was marking his legacy now. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. He knows that the diagnosis he's gotten on his brain cancer is not good. He could end up dying within 6 months to a year, maybe a little more, unless they're able to take radical procedures. It's that kind of brain cancer
that he has. It's very aggressive.
Very aggressive. So I think he wants to go out as being seen as independent and autonomous, the great maverick.
The maverick.
And he saw the vote. He saw that Susan was holding firm, Susan Collins of Maine. The Murkowski of Alaska was holding firm.
They've been consistent. And that's important, though, Curtis, because a lot of women on my social media timeline, they're kind of PO because they feel like McCain, to your point, is being hailed the big grand hero today. But Murkowski and Collins have been no votes all along.
That's true. But I think McCain saw the tabulation and knew that if he voted in the affirmative, it would have put it in the hands of Pence. And it would have put it over the top. But I think he decided at that point, no. I'm going to be known as the great conciliator, the person who wants to bring both sides together. And yet, this has not necessarily been his mantra previously. So I'm saying to myself, is this about the ideology of health care, or is it about his own legacy, what he wants to go on that tombstone as being known for? And remember, you're generally known for the things you last did in life that were most distinctive as opposed to the first things you did in your life. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And with President Trump, I think he wins on this because now he says, just let Obamacare die. Yeah. The Republicans may get hurt. In the midterm elections.
No, Trump will be untouchable, but the Republicans will be vulnerable. Right. Let me state this, though, Curtis. I hear what you're asking about McCain, his motivation. Is this about the preservation of the maverick legacy as he goes into his twilight moments, or is this truly sticking to his political conservative convictions? This is the question I will pose to you. If the bill, which we call the skinny bill, if instead of that crap that we saw that it ended up being, if it really brought down premiums, and if it had coverage, and if it was something that really made sense policy-wise, do you think McCain would have voted for it?
Well, I'll leave that to our listeners as to whether he is the savior or the executioner. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Sal, patiently waiting on the line from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Salvatore?
Hey, guys. Love the show. It's much better than it used to be. Curtis, we always loved you. Now we're really loving on Ebony. Real quick, a couple of Thanks, quick Sam. Points. I think it's time for you to write a column, Curtis, on this. I think I really we always loved those columns, too. Get down and dirty and just say, look, let's just freaking get it done and that kind of thing. Like you always, talk from the people. And, I felt all along that this was not a sincere build attempt. I always felt like somebody wants to have their name attached to the bill, whether it's Republican or Democrat. I just always felt like it was going to be partisan. This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to maybe, I thought all along Republicans shouldn't have even gotten involved. But I think it's an opportunity to give them a bargaining chip and say, look, you fix health care, we'll put up a wall and fix the tax. You do this, we'll do that.
So horse trading, a good old-fashioned Lyndon Baines Johnson style horse trading. You scratch my belly, I scratch your belly.
Absolutely. That's what I think. There should be something more like that because you're never going to get.
Yeah, but where you end up, Sal, you end up with is Bridges to Nowhere. You pork projects that return nothing to the taxpayers that are just belly scratching.
Exactly. Write the column, Curtis.
Yeah, I wish I could. The New York Post used to publish me often. Until I went on the tirade of attacking Trump on a regular basis as a manic depressive, a nut job, a schoolboy, but a guy who's trying to push his agenda. And now...
people have short memories, Curtis. Try him again. Pitch him again.
I don't think they do it to Post.
Maybe.
Let's go to Howard, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here at WABC. Howard?
Yeah, how are you doing, guys? I just had a quick theory I wanted to run by you guys. I have the sneaking suspicion that Mr. McCain was selected by the Republicans to, in effect, take the blame for the failure of the health care bill because they knew they couldn't even get anything done between the Senate and the House. And that gives all the rest of the guys cover to go back to their constituents who might be Trump supporters to say, I voted for it, but you know what? It went down anyway.
I think that's pretty smart because we know McCain just was reelected, so he won't be vulnerable in that same way.
Right, and he's obviously ill.
Yeah, he's ill anyway.
Now, I like that conspiracy theory there.
But it makes sense. Howard, you making sense, buddy. I got to give it to you.
That is an excellent conspiracy theory. McCain takes the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of like Comey here. Remember Comey vilified by the liberals first.
Then
all of a sudden put on a pedestal. Mm. Conservatives hate him now. So interesting here is that McCain might have taken a bullet for the team because if one thing, he has always been a cloak man. What I mean by that is he believes
cover
in the
guy.
Tradition of the Senate. You go behind in the cloakroom and you knock back some Irish car bombs. He's been known to be a boozer from time to time at Jameson. So that makes sense.
Hmm. You know who is absolutely a hot mess and really made himself look a complete fool to me yesterday? Senator Lindsey Graham, because to come out and boldly proclaim it as a fraud, as a disgrace, as horrible for the American people, and it's and then you vote yes? Are you freaking serious? That's like the woman that says, oh, girl, my man's a mess. He's a cheater. He's broke. He's a dog. He's this. Da, 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 da. And then tell me the next day you got engaged to him. What kind of sense does that make?
You mentioned woman. You mentioned Lindsey Graham. You mentioned using that same technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's not much that separates Lindsey Graham from being a woman and using female technology.
Well, see, sexual orientation shaming Senator Lindsey Graham. Justin B. Love shaking his head.
No, it's
terrible.
It's technology.
It's terrible.
Our numbers 1-800-848-WABC.
In the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
And we're back to the brand new Curtis and Ebony show that you can catch every day, Monday through Friday from 12 to 3. And I got to give a quick shout out here. One of my best friends is currently in a New York City cab, and her cab driver is a big fan of the show, Curtis. Kwaku, we hear you, brother. Thank you for transporting people in New York safely. And with that, we'll go to the phones.
You know what he is? He's an OA, original African, unlike you, AA, African-American.
Okay.
That's how he probably learned.
So this
learned
is probably the sixth challenge of my blackness
today. That's probably
today. Thank you for
how
that,
he
Curtis.
Learned English, listening to me all these
listening
years.
Listening to you? Oh, look at that. The white savior helping out the poor brother. Well, once again, great job, Sliwa. We'll go to the lines now with Larry from Staten Island. Larry, you're on 77 WABC.
Good afternoon, Ebony. Good afternoon, Curtis. Curtis, have a great time up at Saratoga. I was up there last weekend, and there's been some really good improvements to the venue up there.
I will definitely check them out and report to everybody on Monday.
I love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Regarding John McCain's vote, Curtis, Ebony, I really believe in my heart of hearts, he voted the way he did in retaliation against Trump for his comments about the POW comment during the campaign. I really believe that.
I've heard that as well, Larry, and I think it's probably spot on. So let me go further with you on this. Let's say you're right. Let's say McCain is basically holding a grudge against Trump for calling him less than a hero for getting caught. He says, you're not a hero if you get caught. And we know McCain famously was a prisoner of war for 5 years. If that's true, Larry, is that justice if you're John McCain, or is that political pettiness and he should have just done what was right politically?
It's definitely political pettiness because it does no good for the people of the United States of America.
What if he really believes it, though, Larry? What if McCain truly believes the skinny bill was a disaster and a fraud?
Well, I still think, in my heart of hearts, it's retaliation. And he's got to get over that. He's an elected senator. He's got to vote based on the bill and the information contained in that bill.
I hear you. Well, thank you for that, Larry. I mean, I think he's right, Curtis. Certainly, we don't want to have personal feelings affecting U.S. senatorial votes. However, I still say Trump only ran for president off of political pettiness because he was mad at Obama for calling him everything but a child of God at that famous White House Correspondents' Dinner when he got roasted.
So your president was responsible for that, Barack Obama.
Well, he was actually all of our president, much like President Trump is all of our president, even though people like you try to cherry pick and nitpick. And,
I just mentioned that because your mother, who is a big Trumper, voted for Barack Obama.
She sure did. She voted for both. So I guess she knows how to pick a winner.
How do you go from voting for Barack Obama to Donald Trump?
You know what? That's such a good question. And there's actually been a couple of fantastic articles about it because it's not just my mother. That's actually a huge part of the Trump electoral success are the Obama-Trump voters. So let's next week get into that and go into the reasons why so many Americans went from Obama to Trump, because that's a real phenomenon. Real phenomenon. Real quick, we'll go to Ernie from North Plainfield. Ernie, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi there. Good show.
Thank you.
I partially agree with the previous caller that there was some ill will there, but I believe that Graham knew what, since their buddies, McCain was going to do, and they were depending on the two ladies to know that they wouldn't have enough votes to make the bill float.
I hear you. That's fine, Ernie. I agree with you, but that still makes Lindsey Graham quite the hypocrite in my book.
You're just hangry because...
Hangry? And I actually had breakfast this morning. Not hangry, today.
That tax...
Some mornings.
...that you were forced to pay because of your millennial status is going to remain on your fellow millennials.
It is. It is. And that's really thanks to Supreme
Tough
Court Justice John Roberts.
Tough noogies, Brian Mongaluch. Pay your freaking tax, your Obama tax.
Well, you just want everybody else to pay for your coverage, Curtis. Get out of here with
Why
that
not?
You ungrateful
young whippersnappers.
You're such a just cranky old man. Let's get some headlines from Ken Duffy.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments. The new midday show.
I fought the law and the law won.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
It's a beautiful night.
What? That's so sweet, Curtis.
Nightmares. Nightmares are coming back.
What do you mean, Curtis? What kind of nightmares?
I think I want to marry you.
It's so sweet. It's this, June, July, this is wedding season. And so many beautiful. I saw a bride actually just over the weekend coming out of St. Patrick's Cathedral right off of Fifth Avenue. Stunning, beautiful dress.
Mistake.
She looks so gorgeous. She looks so happy,
she's
Curtis.
She's probably going to regret
it. She looks so
it.
Happy.
Years from now, she'll regret it.
Maybe not even years. If she's anything like me, give her about 11 or 12 months. She'll already regret it. So, to your point, it looks like in America today, if you feel like you are going to less weddings these days, it's not your imagination. In fact, less people in the United States of America are getting married. Also, they're getting married older. The typical bride nowadays, 28. You know, 10 years ago, that number was down, 22, 23 years old. Women now, 28 years old. Men, 30 years old before their first wedding. How old were you when you first got married? The first one. Try to go all the way back. I know there's been several. Go all the way back to the first one.
First one, I was, I believe, 19.
Ooh, man.
Way too young.
A little whippersnapper.
I should have been locked up. In fact, you know my rule.
With a policy. Yeah.
You cannot get married until you are 30 or older, or I would have you locked up. I would have you retained in jail for your own good.
Well, I do agree.
To prevent you from getting married.
No one should even be able to legally get married in this country until at least 30 years old. But currently, that's the situation. So less people getting married older. But those that are getting married, Curtis, this is interesting. They are having smaller weddings, meaning less people being invited to the wedding, which you would think means that they're spending less money because you think that's why they're inviting less people to the wedding, right?
Mm-mm. It makes sense.
Yeah, but no, that's not what it is. Less people are getting invited to the wedding so that the guests have a more intimate and beautiful experience. So people are spending as much money as ever before on weddings. You know, easily average American wedding, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in a normal city. New York City, forget about it. $100,000 weddings average. But inviting less people. I'm not surprised by this because I'm a big fan of the smaller, intimate wedding.
You've only experienced one wedding.
So far.
In fact, that reminds me, we should come back with that Billy Idol song, White Wedding.
Oh, yes. I did have a white wedding.
I'm showing you wearing a white dress, right?
Well, it was actually a very stunning, very just slightly off-white Amsale collection dress here. Here's the thing. I only had 60 people at my wedding, Curtis, because I wanted to make sure. We only had about $30,000, $35,000, which is a relatively modest budget.
The ceremony took place, once you went to the catering hall or wherever.
Stop. That's where you messed up. So this is some tips for the ladies and gents out there. If you are getting married and you know that you have a budget and you still want to have a beautiful experience, because you know me, I'm not having some low budget crap. Even though I'm cheap, I don't want it to look cheap. OK, so I know my ex-husband's mom wanted to invite like 200 people and have them like in a church basement eating, I don't know, some buffet stuff. It's me. I'm not doing no crap like that.
No buffet.
So restaurant. So this is the thing, ladies and gents. When you know that you don't have $1 million to spend, go to a nice, high-quality restaurant. The food's hot. Because that's important at a wedding. You want the food to actually be hot and taste good. So we had a beautiful steak dinner at a place called Sullivan's down in North Carolina. Mm. Everybody enjoyed it. It was fabulous. So we didn't do the traditional dining hall reception, dance, blah, 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 crap. We didn't even do a first dance. None of that. Did none of that. Had a beautiful reception dinner.
I kind of understand, right?
Yeah.
Why you didn't do the first dance.
Oh, go ahead.
Husband was white, and white guys can't dance, so it would have made him look weak.
That's terrible.
In front of that crowd of blacks and whites, right?
Ex-husband, if you or any of your friends are listening, I would never say something so disparaging.
But it's true, isn't it? I bet you he wasn't a good dancer.
You know, I don't really remember.
See?
I can barely remember. I've been divorced for like 7 years. I can barely remember.
You, so you did it. You did him a solid. You didn't put him into a position where you've got to move to your groove because you're an African-American woman. Mm-hmm. But he had no move to his groove because he was a dopey white boy.
Let me tell you this.
He wasn't dopey. He was a sweet guy.
Let me tell you this, though.
Yes.
60 people at my first wedding. If for some way, somehow, some craziness happens and I find myself signing up for marriage again, you know what I'm going to do, Curtis? What? Either one of two things. Either it's just going to be me and the groom. Because I thought about this and I said, if I get married again, we'll just elope and it'll be nothing. And my friend said, well, that's not fair. Because what if you marry a man who, A, hasn't been married before, or B, even if he has, why deprive him of the right of having, you know, you as a beautiful bride? Doesn't he deserve that?
Are your friend so naive? You're going to be subjecting him to torture.
Oh, no, but I'm not. That's what I said. So here's the happy medium. You'll like this plan.
Okay.
Either it'll just be me and the groom and the officiant by ourselves in something splendid.
I like that.
Private wedding.
I like that.
Or maximum 20 people. You get your 10 best friends. I get my 10 best friends. And we go far away, like Italy, Paris.
Oh.
something
far away.
You mean
not Bayonne, New Jersey, the gateway to the world?
No. We ain't getting married in Jersey.
You get to look at the Atlantic Ocean, and you could say, you know, if we took a boat straight in that direction, we would hit France.
But I think that's what people should do. Smaller is better. I don't understand these weddings, Curtis, that 200-300 people, most of the people you can't even engage with throughout the course of the evening.
Depending on who you're inviting, there is that part of the ceremony, once you're celebrating and you're half in the bag, where the respondents are supposed to come and stuff your booster bag. Do you know what the booster bag is?
I'm going to use context clues, a skill that I set up in third grade, and think that you're talking about people putting cash in the
booster
garter.
Bag. Or no, well, not the garter, but you carry actually
like a cash
bag.
Yeah, that sounds a little...
A booster bag.
A little low budget.
Well, they come in with envelopes.
This is cross-cultural.
Yeah, hopefully it's cash and not checks, because knowing
checks
some
bounce.
Of your friends,
yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah,
better run
bounce.
To the bank on Monday when the banks open up. But the reality is, did anybody actually
Sorry,
slip you then the envelopes?
Mm-hmm. So what we did, because we were living in California, I didn't want to carry, you know, toasters and all that stupid stuff with me. So we asked only for cash or gift cards. And we got pushback. People said that that wasn't Emily Post correct, you know, whatever, manners or whatever. They said that was not proper etiquette. But that's what I thought made the most sense. So I didn't register, no gifts. Mm. Please spare us cash or gift cards. Thank you.
Cash or gift cards.
But that's because we were kids. We were 27. If I got married now, no gifts. No, we're too old for that. It's ridiculous. Honestly, the more I think about it, no wedding, just elope.
Ladies and gentlemen, is this the end of the huge marriages that we all grew up with? I know in my family, on the Italian side, 200, 250 people minimum. And then the battle is where you were queued up, you know, whether you were up front or you were in the rear. And that would cause all kinds of internal turmoil in terms of where you were positioned in the huge catering hall.
Oh, like where you sit.
Yeah, it would have to be a huge catering hall. And always you would have some uncle or cousin who thought that they was the second coming of Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, I want to sing.
Who would want to get up and sing to the crowd.
That's always so tacky.
Oh, that was my cousin. And I got to tell you,
which wedding? Which wedding for you?
All of them.
Your cousin
Sagan,
all of them? Oh.
All of my cousins' weddings, and, you know, it went on and on. Because remember, I came from a huge Italian family in which everybody was getting married on a regular basis, and everyone had to come with the envelope to stuff in the booster bag. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. To the phones we go. Let's go to Giuseppe Joe, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony K. Williams here at WABC. Joe.
Good afternoon, Ms. Williams. Good afternoon, Curtis. I take umbrage, Curtis, at your remark about white men not being able to dance. I'm of Celtic Teutonic descent, and in 1970, I was such a good dancer. Two radical sisters with the Angela Davis hairdos come out of their room in the women's dorm in BU. My girlfriend was going, and I was dancing, and they go, "You gray." And I'm like, "Hold the phone. Do you mean black and white?" And they go, "You gray."
Oh, I never heard that term before, Joe. Gray.
Uh-huh. Neither had I.
They came out with their Angela Davis puff rose.
You dated a woman with the Angela Davis puff rose.
Oh, that's who I married.
Right, okay.
That was my first marriage.
I've also been told I'm a black man trapped in a white man's skin when I'm dancing.
Okay, Joe.
So they sandwiched you.
I don't think so. I think they were back from the other side of the plate.
Like Angela Davis.
Got it. Okay.
You see, that's
okay.
What broke my heart. Angela Davis turned out to be a hardcore lesbian. She didn't like guys, although I thought she loved George Jackson. That's why she sprung him and the Soledad brothers out of jail.
Hmm.
Although she never got convicted of that in San Jose, California.
Much like OJ.
Let's quickly go to, who is that? Ty Key, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here, Ty Key.
Curtis, how you doing? I know what you're going to say. You don't have to say it. But Ebony, I want to talk to you about you spending $35,000 on your wedding. What if these kids were to just have one big picnic? You know, you rent.
Oh, I think it's terrible. Tyke, you ain't got to convince me, brother. I thought that was the biggest waste of money. That's why I just said I'd never do it again. Don't worry about it.
No, I know two kids who got a permit. They rented a park. They had one big picnic. Every family bought a dish. And they collected the $40,000. They went and bought a house.
Yeah, I mean, but I got to stop you. That whole I don't know. I don't think that's always all it's cracked up to be. I feel like that's the narrative. Just buy a house, just buy a house. It's a little bit of a different day, Tyke. People need to be... Now, if you say invest in a property that's going to make sense, meaning the other instruments that could grow even more equity, then yes. But just buying a house is like the catch-all.
Your marriage only lasted a year.
Yeah.
That would have ended up being divided.
Exactly.
As equity.
No, it would have been probably not much equity. That's what I'm saying. That would have actually made the divorce that much harder.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, had we bought a house.
That's right, because you would have had to keep paying that nut at the end of
that's
the month.
That's right. Yeah, it would have been terrible. So I'm really glad we didn't buy a house in that case. Beautiful wedding, by the way. Gorgeous, gorgeous wedding. Crap marriage. Beautiful wedding. Won't do it again.
Did you know it was going to be a crap marriage at that wedding?
No. I think the night before, though, if I was really being candid, Curtis, I thought we could do better. Both of us could have done a better job selecting potential life mates, but I thought we could make it work. You know, I'm a fighter. I thought we could make it work.
Was he at his bachelor's party at some local strip joint?
No. I don't recall that.
Well, that's
he was like, he wasn't that kind of guy. He was really buttoned up.
He obviously was your Maytag, a real poo-putt.
Oh,
the fact that he wouldn't even have a bachelor's party and go to a local strip club.
He just wasn't that way. He wasn't just a nice, quiet guy, Curtis. Yeah, everybody's not like you.
And look.
Being a hot mess.
Look at what happened to him a year later.
Well, I
bet you he's still out there walking around somewhere going.
No, he's happily remarried. He's fine.
How do you know he's happily remarried?
I don't know that he's happily remarried. I know he's remarried. How do I know that? Because he married a Catholic woman, and so we had to get our marriage annulled in the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah, you never were married, right? How much money did he spend for that with the Vatican?
I don't know.
You were married.
The Catholic Church said we weren't.
How much money did he pay for them to say that?
Well, he was really cheap. Date night used to be a Panera Bread, so I don't think he spent very much.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. And oh, by the way, Ebony K. Williams.
Yes, Curtis.
You'll be featured on The Specialist today, as you are every Monday through Friday on the Fox News Channel from 5 to 6. But I understand the fair weather friend, the backstabber to me, Eric Bolling, will be missing in action because I threaten to go down there and punch his schnoz right down his throat.
Or because he's promoting his book, The Swamp. One of those two reasons is true, I'm certain.
So who's going to be sitting in the rooster seat, Tab, between both of you hens, Cat, who I despise, I loathe, I hate, and yourself?
That's going to be everyone's friend on Fox, Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends.
Brian Kilmeade, why can't they just have one of you gals sit there in the rooster seat?
Why don't you write Rupert Murdoch and you ask that?
I actually had a conversation with Rupert Murdoch one time. On the Deuce on 42nd Street, and it was at a restaurant, and it was a Fox event.
Mm.
I could not understand a word the guy was saying.
Oh, his accent, that Australian accent threw you for a loop, huh?
He was mumbling.
Maybe it was the accent.
It was an Australian mumble.
Yeah.
Although maybe he just didn't want to be bothered by me.
Well, he wouldn't be alone, Curtis. I think there's a few people that would join that camp.
Are you in that camp?
Is this commercial over?
By the way, what will you be discussing on The Specialist tonight, huh?
I knew that was coming. So, unfortunately, North Korea, I've said it, you've said it, we can no longer continue to ignore them. They're putting up missiles quicker than we can block them. That feels certainly some kind of way. Talking about the mooch, your favorite, talking about the mooch big time, that's on the A block.
What a grease ball he is.
MS, your Italians don't like it when you say that. MS-13 crackdown and much, much more on The Specialist
I won't be
today.
Watching. I won't be watching.